What's up, everybody? How y'all feeling this morning?
Good.
That's good. Marv, if I start to go a little bit off course, reel me back in. And it's news to me that you thought the world revolved around you, because I thought it revolved around me. I thought it was all about me. Okay. Glad to see everybody. Is Carl not here?
No, he's in Israel.
He's in Israel.
Was he going for the Day of Atonement?
No, it was a church trip, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Wow.
Two weeks.
He didn't tell me he was leaving. Okay. Today I just kind of want to talk to y'all about like two words, is and am. And as it pertains to the Bible used those two words. And I was listening to a debate, was it correct English? You know, and I guess technically, since we don't speak old English no more, all of it's incorrect. But what hit me was the meaning behind those two words, not whether they were correct English or not, but how God chose to use those words. And I asked myself, why did he choose to use those words? And the revelation he gave to me was really, really interesting. So I decided to share it with you guys. I'm going to be drawing from a couple different places, so I'm going to try to bring this in together. But in the Bible, Jesus, as we know, was crucified by Pilate. And he was buried in a tomb behind this huge boulder. I almost said rock, but it was more of a boulder. And it was so much so that no few people could move that boulder. It would have taken an army. So so there was a counselor, and he was with Joseph, and they had some women with them, and they begged Pilate the body of Jesus. They wanted to see the body. They begged him, and Pilate granted them that. So they went to the tomb where Jesus was buried, and that boulder had been moved. And they looked inside, and Jesus was not there. And of course, it was a big uproar. They assumed that somebody came and stole a body, or they assumed something happened, which obviously it did. And when they were looking for him, the Bible says there was these two men in shining garments. And they said, when Joseph and the counselor came up, they were looking for Jesus, and Joseph and the counselor and the women saw these two men, and they were frightened. It was something about them that kind of put literally the fear of God in them, to the point where they just dropped and bowed down face to the earth. And the two men, one of them asked, "What are y'all doing?" They said, "We're looking for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." And one of the two men replied, "Why do you look for the living amongst the dead?" Which, had that been a reply for me, I would probably still be standing there trying to figure out. I'm not understanding. We're basically in the graveyard. We're at a grave site. I'm not looking for the living amongst the dead. I'm looking for my Lord and Savior, which they killed and they buried him here. And those two men in the shining garments told them, he said, "For he is not here. He is risen." And it also goes on to say, this is a different, we're in Exodus now, when God came to Moses in the form of the burning bush, and God had freed his children, the Israelites, after 430 years of captivity, of slavery. He needed them to be free. He said, "This is their moment." So he went to Moses, and he came in the form of a burning bush, and Moses was talking to the bush, and he understood, this is God. And God said, "Moses, I need for you to go to Egypt and tell Pharaoh to free my people. Now, you got to understand, Pharaoh has a kingdom, an army, and Moses is just one person. And Moses was really reluctant, which I don't blame him. He said, look, God, understand that I'm not eloquent of tongue. I have a speech impediment. I stutter. I'm not very educated. When I show up to this man demanding that he free the Israelites, who do I say sent me? Like, who do I tell him who told me to just go do this? And God said, tell him that I am that I am. I am that I am. And the reason I'm talking about those two words, is and am, because the Bible said that the two men who were presumed to be angels, and they appeared again in Acts, they said, he is not here, he is risen. God said, I am that I am. And understand, when you use those words, is, and not he has risen, or he will rise, the word is, if it's 5,000 years ago, if it's today, or if we doze off at the wheel, somehow magically get frozen and end up 5,000 years in the future, like Buck Rogers in the 25th century, that word is applies to the present, no matter where you are. So no matter when it is, Jesus is risen. We serve and we worship the risen King. Amen. Trust and believe, Jesus is not dead. The evidence is they went to the tomb and looked. And then Jesus showed up again in the book of Acts as he gave his disciples the instructions. I need y'all to go to the upper room and wait on me. And he ascended into the clouds with those same two beings in shiny garments. So the word is Jesus is risen. God said, I am that I am. Again, if you go 5,000 years in the past, if you go to today, or 5,000 years in the future, I am that I am. Hallelujah. And who I am, not me, but God. God is the all-powerful, all-knowing, Amen. Ever-present, omnipresent, creator, sustainer, and ruler of all things. That's the God that we serve. I am that I am. No matter what it is you can think of, he is that, because he is all things created for him and by him. So we serve that kind of God. Now we're in Acts, and in the book of Acts, Peter says to everybody who would listen, repent and be baptized, each and every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, so that you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, what is the Holy Ghost? Jesus had to give his life. Trust me, they didn't take it. They did not take it. Had he wanted to live, he would still be here right now. But he was so obedient to God, his Father, that he willingly gave his life. He had a little reluctancy to it, because he said in the Bible, Lord, if this not be your will, let this cup pass from me. It didn't pass, so I guess that was his will. So thank God for Jesus's obedience, that he willingly gave his life so that we can have life. He gave his life so that we all right here in this room can live. And I'm not talking about living right here in this stuff in the flesh on this earth. I'm talking about life, and more abundantly. Mm-hmm. Everlasting life in the kingdom of heaven. So, geez, Marv, you didn't reel me in. Where was that?
Where is you?
Where is I? Yeah. Okay, so let me find where I is. I'll just pick up here. Jesus, like I said, they didn't kill him. He willingly gave his life. Amen. Now, before he died, he was given a service on the mountain, and he said, well, no, not the Sermon on the Mountain, but he was talking to his apostles, and he told them, he said, it is imperative that I leave this earth. It is imperative that I die. And they were worried about that. They said, Lord, without you, what are we to do? He said, don't worry about nothing. He being Jesus, he said, for I will send you a comforter. And the comforter is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost, is the Spirit of Jesus. Amen. So in other words, he had to die and leave his physical form so that he then can go into his spiritual form. Now, if we're here in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and Jesus is in Arizona giving a sermon, chances are we're going to miss him, especially back then because there was no cars, planes, trains, and automobiles. But now we don't have to be in the physical place that Jesus is, because Jesus lives inside of all of us, because he is risen. He rose from the dead. The Bible says that when the light shineth into the dark, Jesus is the light of this world. And when that light shineth into the dark comprehended it not. So death, when the Bible's speaking of light and dark, is speaking of life and death. And everything in this world that has ever lived, trees, plants, birds, you name it, has had to succumb to death, except for Jesus. And when Jesus let his light shine, death couldn't comprehend it. Death couldn't understand it. How has everything that I've touched, I've taken, except for this man? So Jesus is risen. He is alive. And that is the God that we serve. It's not like the Egyptian gods where they're still waiting for them to get up. You know, Osiris, please rise. Horus, please rise so that we can take our land back. No, we serve a living God. And that Spirit of Jesus, once you repent, once you get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, you will receive that gift of the Holy Ghost. You will receive the Spirit of Jesus. And that Spirit that has risen from the dead now lives in each and every one of you, each and every one of us. So that no matter what our situations and circumstances look like, we can still rise as long as we have breath in our bodies. And the Bible said that God breathed life into man. So the breath that we breathe, God breathed that inside of us. As long as we still have that breath and that beat in our hearts, it is not too late. So I strongly encourage each and every one of you in here, had you not been baptized, fully submerged in water for the remission of your sins, so that you could receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, the gift of Jesus Christ, I strongly encourage you to do that. Because that same Spirit that Jesus is, that risen from the dead, that death could not comprehend it, is the same Spirit that lives in all of us. Once we get baptized for the remission of our sins in Jesus' name. So that means we can rise no matter how dark it looks, no matter how bad it looks, no matter how far of a ditch down that we've dug for ourselves, we can rise the same way that Jesus did. Why? Because Jesus lives inside of you. In the Bible, he said, "For I have done great things." This is Jesus talking. He said, "For I have done great things, but you will go on to do even greater." So the same way that he rose, we can rise. It is not over. Do not let your situation or your circumstances tell you that it's over. Amen. The reason why God has us in a position, sometimes he has to break us all the way down so that he can build us all the way back up. Sometimes we have to get into a position where we are at our lowest so we can hear God. Because we hear a lot of voices in the world. Sometimes for some of us, it takes being locked up. It takes drug addiction. It takes family finally saying, "Look, I'm done with you." It takes friends saying, "Look, I'm done with you." And now once we are in a position that we have absolutely nobody that we can turn to, it is then that God shows up and says, "I'm here." And we can hear him clearly, almost the audio voice of God. But the thing is, we have to allow him to speak to us. I'm pretty sure everybody in here has that story. Like, why, after you wake up in jail, why did I go out? Something told me to just stay in last night. But we didn't listen. So with certain actions come consequences. It just is what it is. But Our situation does not define us. Our circumstances does not define us. Do not let whatever it is you're going through define you. The Bible says we are to rejoice in times of tribulations. Sounds crazy, but rejoice in times of tribulation, because that faith that we have to have the size of a mustard seed, we know anything that God allowed us to go through, He is going to pull us out. And when we come out of that situation, we come out better. We come out better, and we come out with wisdom so that we can help others not have to go through that, so that we can help others who are going through that same situation. We can help pull them out. We can help show them the power, the love, and the glory of God. That's why we go through these things. It's almost like training. It's almost like training, like military training. When you're in the military or sports, you have to go through a series of rigorous events. So that way you know how to respond once those times actually come. So those times, those rigorous times, those hurtful, heartbreak, soul damaging times that we've gone through, that Jesus has pulled us through, now each and every one of you are prepared to reach back and help pull the next person through. Everything we go through, everything we've go through, God has a reason, a purpose, and a plan. And that reason and purpose and plan for us to have sympathy, empathy, and understanding for those who are coming behind us. And even if it's something as simple as, look, Jesus loves you. I was once here, but now I'm here because of the love and the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ. I may not be where I want to be, but I am sure glad I'm not where I was. Amen. None of us may be where we want to be right now, but a few years ago, look at where you were. The power and the beauty of Christ. You have made it. You have made it. The world, the weight of the world was on your shoulders, tried to take you out. The devil, that's his job. The Bible says the devil is here to kill, steal, and destroy. Because he wants you to suffer the same fate that he has to suffer. The devil did not kill you. You are still here. You made it. And as long as you're here, as long as you have breath in your lungs, you now have the opportunity to turn to Christ. The Bible says, God says, if you draw nigh to me, I will draw nigh to you. All we got to do is take that first step. All we got to do is take that first step in surrender, not to the police, but in surrender to God, to the will of God. And when we take that first step, trust me, he'll just pick you up and take the rest of them for you. But we just have to believe and we have to fight. Once you get into this Christian walk, once you give your life to Christ, I'm telling you, it is not going to be easy. But God will not let you fall. He will not let you fall. So with that, I just want to encourage everybody. He is risen.
Amen.
No matter when in time, he is risen. It's not that he rose and we ain't heard from him since and we waiting to hear from again. It's not that maybe one day he will rise. He is risen.
Amen.
God said, I am that I am. And the Bible says that God is love, and God loves each and every one of us. Just open your hearts, open your souls, open your spirits, open your minds to receiving that gift. And I guarantee you, watch, life will not be the same as you know it. You are more than conquerors. You are conquerors and more.
Amen.
You are royalty. You are heirs of the, we are heirs of the throne of God. Mm-hmm. We are just here and just waiting to inherit the kingdom. And while we wait on the Lord, the key is, do not self-destruct in that process. Mm-hmm. The Bible says that once you've done all that you can do, Just stand and see the goodness and the glory and the manifestation of the Lord come over your life. When I used to go into the stores, they used to always tell me, put your hands in your pocket because you got a bad habit of stealing stuff. That's what we need to do while we're waiting on the Lord. If you got to put your hands in your pockets, if you got to sit on your hands just to make sure you don't get fidgety and jump out of line and jump out of the will of God, just please just stand. No matter what it looks like, wait on the Lord, and he will come through for you, and he will change, and he will touch, and he will move in your life like you've never seen before. So in the name of Jesus, I just want to give you that encouragement. We're not serving a Jesus that died on the cross. Physically, he died, and that was just for a couple days, but he is risen. And because he is risen, you can rise out of whatever dead situation that you're in. Amen. That's everything. Amen.